on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Audible proudly celebrates 50 years of hip-hop. Respect the movement. Respect the moment. Celebrate storytellers. Hear new hip-hop titles on Audible free all summer long, including Words and Music volumes from Snoop Dogg, DJ's Dramas, Gangsta Grills, featuring the mixtape legend in conversation with hip-hop greats including 2 Chainz, Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, Jeezy, T.I., and Pharrell, and binge-worthy Audible original docuseries like The Greatest Day, Can You Dig It, and The Motherlode. Hear unforgettable hip-hop originals like these and other essential stories on Audible. Listen for free. Go to audible.com/forever.
I must have hurt your feelings. Your temper hit the ceiling. You know I want to talk to you. Oh, girl, come on. But it's not living, and I know it's not giving. You know I got a lot to do. Oh, girl, come on. I know this part ain't pretty, but you know I've been busy. That's why I can't talk long on the phone. It's all for you, baby girl, come on. So, girl, if you're with me, know I look for your pretty face to smile when I get home. And when we make love, you know it's gonna be amazing. Number one, baby girl, you with me. Smashing, that's a hit to me. Off the chart, know how you get to me. You might be nothing to you, but she the shit to me. She, tell me how you love that. Not gonna do nothing about it. Hold your heart, you run first to me. We gonna party like it's our anniversary. Oh, Pharrell for the girls.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord, niggas. Do you know
praise
that song?
The Lord. Of course I do.
Okay. I'm just
I was in a
sure.
full dance break over here. You didn't see me okay. jamming okay. on the one.
Making sure. Right. My grandmother loves that song. It's so fascinating.
I can say with absolute certainty that I am sure that my grandmother had no earthly idea who Pharrell is.
My dad has the funniest opinion of Pharrell. He loves Pharrell's music and all of that, but my dad be like, that nigga really think he can sing, huh?
That is such a dad thing to say. How are you, my sister? He does. What's going on?
Oh, I am well. I am let me not say summer is winding down, because to be perfectly honest, summer goes until late September.
Yes.
But you know, summer in the traditional sense, as far as the yes. months that we know, and summer vacation and all of yes. that, it's just halfway through, maybe a little bit more, which is
not
absolutely
even halfway
nuts.
For a lot of the folks, by the time this airs, especially for our listeners in the southern states, their kids, my mama said the kids is going back to school on Friday of this week.
Wait a minute.
They have like one day. They go back like literally like the first week in August. So
why?
A lot of students are going back to school August 4th. Their first full week of school will start on, I don't know, what's that, the August 7th or something.
Oh, that's nuts.
It is nuts. But for a lot of people, because, you know, think about it. These kids, they got out of school before Memorial Day, well before.
That's true. I forget that, because Noah and them get out mid to late June.
Yes.
So they don't go back till after Labor Day.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I can't imagine going back to school at the top of August, though. Like, that's peak swimming month. Like, that's the heat. That's when people are trying to, you know, get their last-minute family vacations in. And
it's a different world for those of us who... We grew up in New York, and so this is different for us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kids in the South, They be going back to school in August, like legit, full time.
I can't even give them the end of August. Like, you can go back at the top of August. That's absolutely crazy. Well, how are you, sister? How are you doing?
I'm well. I don't have any complaints. Working and taking care of business, family things, personal things. Also,
I have an
update
for you.
Okay.
In this petty peeve, I just remembered because I was like, should I tell her after she tells me? But no, I'm actually going to wait till the petty peeve.
Okay. Continue. Yeah, I don't have any complaints. Working hard. And trying to also, you know, get better at taking better care of myself.
Ooh,
so
yes.
it's a journey, but I'm doing it. The best I can. I have no complaints. I'm doing well.
A journey of discovery.
Yes. In finding you and finding me.
That's correct. Well, you know, Kia and I must tell you all that we, realized that there were just a couple of graduation announcements that slipped through the cracks.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that those are honored this year. I know we said we were going to be done. And, you know, if it wasn't in, you snooze, you lose. Well, these people did not snooze. And so, therefore, we want to honor them. So we're going to head on over to a shout out and shout out our last couple of graduation announcements. Shall we do it?
Yes, we shall.
My sister's popping right now, like.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And as Jade said, so listen, we have ended graduation announcements, but we'll be reading new announcements. But in the event that the announcement was sent ahead of the deadline and we missed it, we're going to double back and read that announcement. We have two that sort of fell through the cracks. That we're going to catch up on. Just in good faith, as we want to acknowledge, you know, the accomplishments of folks who follow the instructions. Okay. We want to follow up and read these announcements. So
yes, this is our bad, not y'all.
This is our bad, not y'all. So yes, the first announcement is from Maya's mom. It reads, "Dear Jade and Kia, I'm shouting out my daughter, Maya Monique Payne. On May 5th, 2023, Maya graduated with a Master of Science degree in Environmental Sciences from Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee. During her last year at TSU, Maya attended Cornell University as a Thomas Wyatt Turner Fellow. And this summer, she is interning as a Yale University Environmental Fellow. Maya will begin working on her PhD in Environmental Science this fall. To say that I am proud is an understatement. Maya and I are big fans of the podcast. Thank you both for honoring and encouraging the graduates." And that is signed Maya's mom. So thank you, Maya's mom. And big, huge congratulations. Yes. Big, huge congratulations to Maya on your achieving your master's degree, and best wishes to you in the pursuit of your PhD, girl. We can't wait to read your next graduation announcement when you wrap
Absolutely.
That up.
Absolutely.
All right.
Pursuit,
right? Because clearly that's the kind of day I'm having. A pursuit.
Oh, sister, I'm having quite of one.
Yes.
all right. Our last, for real this time, announcement of the graduation season is from Jasmine. And Jasmine writes, "Hi, Dr. Key and Chef Jade. My name is Jasmine. I'm a newcomer to your podcast, so hearing the most recent graduation day announcements episode gave me so much excitement to write in."
Yes.
She apologizes for the length, but you're fine, girl. People have written soliloquies, okay?
I mean,
the class of what is the Pride and Prejudice? The class of 2023 has so many of my friends and family, so I wanted to take a moment to shout them out, and I hope it makes it to the pod. It has.
Yes.
My little cousin Tamaya will be graduating from high school on June 20th, 2023, followed by my lovely nieces Lee and Tatiana on June 21st, 2023. I am incredibly proud to have watched them from birth all the way to this milestone. Tamaya and Lee will be attending college in the fall, and Tatiana will be joining the United States Armed Forces. On to the big kids. My little cousin Imani just graduated from Howard University School of Law on May 12th with her Juris Doctor, and she is currently on the stressful journey of bar exam prep, so please send her some extra prayers.
Oh, sure will.
Little honey. I'm so proud of my fellow bison and little cousin. Additionally, my other fellow bison and best friend Jasmine Blackman graduated from Bowie State University with her master's in management information systems this past Friday, May 26th.
Yes.
Lastly, and I promise this is the last thing, I graduated from law school in my master's program in spring 2021, but I just found out a little under 2 weeks ago that I passed the February 2023 New Jersey bar exam. So I'm officially Esquire, which I've waited 2 years and 3 attempts at the bar to say.
Oh, yeah.
If you've made it this far, thank you so much for reading my shout out, and thank you both for this amazing space you've created for us struggling with adulthood to not be ashamed of our struggles. It gives me some more grounding early in my week before I listen to the wonderful chaos and negativity that is Jaden XD on Fridays. Sincerely, Jasmine. And that is Esquire. Okay.
Wonderful.
You better add that to the name. Thank you, Jasmine. And shout out to Tamaya and Lee and Tatiana and Imani and Jasmine. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Very proud of all of the graduates.
All of you.
All of the amazing things that you are accomplishing in the earth. Know that we speak your name and we are praying for you and excited about your futures.
Absolutely.
So thank you all for allowing Jade and I to be a part of the ways that you celebrate and acknowledge yourselves. We love that. That's our type of
carrying
on. Absolutely.
Period. Yes, it is. Shout out to all of you. Shout out to those of the 2023-2022 graduation season. We cannot wait to see you all in 2024. And we're going to move on to an amazing kitchen table.
So good.
With a really dope guest per usual.
So dope.
So make sure you all check it out.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here and we have another amazing guest. I know that we say that every time we have a guest, but we really be meaning it. It be amazing people who join us at the kitchen table every week. This week is no exception. I know that many of you have heard this name, whether connected to some of your website, favorite websites or communities like Blavity or Afrotech. We have the founder and CEO of Blavity Inc., a venture-backed company that builds product solutions and media for Black consumers. Everybody, welcome Morgan DeBond to the kitchen table. Hello, Morgan.
What's up, ladies?
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good today.
All right. Where are you based, Morgan?
I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I escaped from L.A.
Wow.
Oh, I'm getting a lot of Nashville. A lot of people moving to Nashville.
My mama
days.
Lives in Nashville, but she's from there originally. So when she moved back in 2011, it was kind of like, I'm grown and I'm going back home. So tell us a little bit how you ended up in Nashville and your escape from L.A. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I lived in L.A. for like 6+ years. It's hard to keep track. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I built the company there. I started in San Francisco. And then when we started hiring people and getting an office, we decided to move in LA because it's just like more for the culture and just better for hiring. And I did that. You know, we did that. We had a beautiful office in downtown LA, like floor to ceiling windows. I mean,
amazing.
It was like epic,
views,
you know,
views on Black
views, Black music every morning when you walk in the door, just so much fun. But then COVID hit and we kind of had to make a decision. It's like, we're getting older. So like my employees, I started this company when I was 24. So we weren't really thinking about like kids and mortgages and like all this stuff. But then 6 years in, people start to be like, wait a minute, how am I going to get this done? And then the pressure is on me as a CEO. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we going to make this money? How am I going to get
what
this raise? And I'm like, hold up. I cannot outpace California. And people wanted to move closer to where they're from. people moved to Cincinnati, people moved back to New York, people moved to DC, to Philly. A lot of people moved to Texas. And so it was just a better quality of life for everybody that worked for us. And then it just helped me. We're fully remote now. So I moved to Nashville, which is where my parents live. I'm from St. Louis originally, but they've been here for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I never really considered Nashville. I kind of was like, I mean, Tennessee.
Right. Tennessee.
You know what I mean?
I feel like there was, didn't they just end slavery like a couple years ago?
You know what I mean? Like there's still plantations legal here.
It's a very red state today, currently.
It's a terribly red state.
Yes.
Yeah. So I really wasn't considering it. But during COVID, you know, I just wanted to be closer to my family, like after that first COVID round one, and then round two hit, and I was like, all right, I'm out. Like, LA was terrible during that time period. I mean, you couldn't even go outside. You couldn't do anything. They locked it down so heavy. So I moved to Nashville, you know, bought my first house and decided, you know, I'm just going to start my life here and build it from here and just travel, you know, just get on flights. It's so much easier to get to Atlanta. It's so much easier to get to New York. So it's been a great decision.
And you have a reason to kind of shift the quality of life, especially right now, do you not?
I am 7 months pregnant, so it worked out.
In the heat of the summer, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's getting tied up in here. But my man walked in my office this morning and was like, "How are you feeling?" He's like, it's a little cold in here. I'm like, I'm definitely not cold.
It's a little hot outside.
It's a little hot.
Thank you very much.
Jade and I was just talking about that. We had an episode a few weeks back talking about how as we get older, our bodies change. And my mom would tell me, because I've never been pregnant before, but my mom would talk about how heat, when you are pregnant, like it's like your body is literally an oven. And so
it hits different.
Sort of that sort of experience while it is actively 100 degrees in the environment surrounds you, surrounding you. Yeah.
Yeah. I went outside today. I was like, I actually like can't breathe. Like I can't breathe.
Wow.
The thickness of the air. So yeah, but it's, you know, in some ways it's perfect timing because I'm going to give birth in the last week of October, first week of November, God willing, everything works out per plan. But that means I get the holidays, you know, we can just be cozy inside, sweater weather. I'm not worried about no snapback.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing. It's
you
an
can
amazing
enjoy your favorite holiday meal
outside,
guilt-free. That's wonderful.
Yes, no socializing, guilt-free. It's amazing.
Exactly.
It's like, nope, so sorry, the baby can't come.
It's cold. He can't come outside.
But I do bless your spirit right now, being pregnant in summer. We went to the end of June. My daughter was born at the end of June. I think that in itself was miserable enough. So we're sending you big love, Morgan. Let's rewind it back. Let's rewind it back because you said you're originally from St. Louis, and I know you went to school in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the journey from school and then how that led to starting Blavity, actually. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, crazy. I mean, you know, I grew up just like middle class, upper middle class, suburbia, St. Louis, and went to school at the top school, WashU. I didn't really know anything about Silicon Valley or tech. I mean, that just wasn't part of my ecosystem. It wasn't really part of my vocabulary. My parents were not entrepreneurs, so it's not like I grew up with people raising money and talking about millions of dollars. It just wasn't a part of my life. So, you know, when I was in college, I got an internship at an education tech company, like one of the very few in St. Louis, because I could walk to the office from campus and from my apartment. And that's when I kind of first started to like, oh, it's interesting. Like there are people who make the things that we're using. Like we're using a platform right now for this podcast or somebody who made it, who's probably worth a couple hundred mil.
Right. Oh, I'm sure.
Do you know what I'm
saying? Pretty sure.
So, but like, you don't think about that stuff growing up. Like you're not thinking about who makes the iPads and who makes the apps that you use. So I started to like have that level of consciousness when it came to technology and ultimately decided that I was going to move to the Bay and like apply to different jobs. And so I moved out to Mountain View, California, which is like in the kind of OG Silicon Valley area. And I worked at a company called Intuit, which was super dope. You know, they make products like TurboTax, Mint.com. Mm-hmm. Did that for 2 years. And then I very quickly was like, okay, so like corporate life is not for me. Mm-hmm. I need to build something different. And ultimately, like, it wasn't that corporate life like totally wasn't for me. I enjoyed learning. I enjoyed being challenged. I enjoyed a lot of the resources that come with being with the big company. But at the end of the day, I was spending a bunch of time not serving customers and a mission that mattered to me. And Black folks were never going to be the primary customer of many of these tech companies. We were always going to be tier three, right. tier four, if that. Mm-hmm. And I was young. I'm like, why not? Why not start then? You know, when you've got no, I had no responsibilities. And so I just started Blabity with my friends from college and we just did it.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Like, how did, tell us how that birthed. What were y'all sitting around drinking MD 2020? Like, what was it? How, what happened?
Yes. Man, So my co-founder, Jeff, who was at Palantir at the time, he was an engineer. He is an engineer. He's now our COO. But he was at a company down the street and they had free liquor and they had free food after work. So I would
community.
Go over there.
Community. That's what I love.
You know, I am cheap. And so we would definitely be like thinking about different things we could do. We built like random products before together. And then my other co-founders were in other different places, like Aaron, who's super smart on my team, was a management consultant. So he was hanging out with like really big companies and working on like really big management consulting, like helping big corporations do big things that are very expensive. Mm-hmm. And then my other co-founder, Jonathan, was really much an extrovert and he worked with LinkedIn right when LinkedIn was making that transition from being a website with profiles to being a community.
Yeah.
So he was like one of the first people on the editorial team for that. So we were just talking and ultimately, I decided to quit my job and kind of bootstrap and finance it myself. And then they all slowly, you know, depending on what was going on in their lives, came on full time. And at the end of the day, like Blavity, it was always designed to be how you described it in the intro, something, a company that creates products and services and experiences for Black people with Black people as a primary customer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But what that looked like was pretty like, I don't know, because we're going to just see what works, you know, but I believed that we as a community had enough power in this world and also enough influence that if I could get something to be big enough, that it would all work out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the hallmarks of folks in our generation is that we understand that, you know, that there's a connection between content and community and that everyone wants to be a part of the conversation. And I think Blavity throughout its history and all of the iterations, you know, we've watched it evolve through all of these phases and stages. And I'm curious to know, this is something I like to ask a lot of creators that come on. Is Blavity what you anticipated it would be? Does it look like what you envisioned? Was there a vision?
Yeah. I think it looks like, I have a slide from my first slide deck, like presentation for investors, and it looks very much like it. It was a Black girl with an Afro puff in the middle and surrounding her were like events, information, news, getting a job, like podcasts, TV. I mean, it was an entire thing that was, she was just sitting in the middle in the epicenter and Blavity was around her. And so I do think we're getting closer to that. You know, there's definitely things that I'm like, we're definitely not going to do TV. Like there's certain things I'm like, we missed that boat, not going to do it. But we might still do podcasts. You know, I started my podcast. We have some podcasts with iHeartMedia. We've got, you know, different things that we do. But yeah, I think that it's the feeling of Blavity exists and that hasn't changed. And that's ultimately what we're like solving for.
Yeah.
Now, you just talked about your podcast. You have a new podcast coming out. Let's talk about that a little bit. What is it called? What is it about? Tell the people what they can expect.
Yeah. So I started a podcast called the Journey Podcast. You can get it everywhere on the internet. And I started it because I felt like I spent the first 8-9 years of business really focused on being an entrepreneur, being a founder. You know, you raise money, you get the articles in Forbes and TechCrunch, and you like, I'm a CEO, you know, rawr, because you have to have that identity to like make it through the financial system that we live in. But now I'm like, kind of sort of made it. Here's now actually what's going on.
Yeah.
You know? And also, like, I'm not just my work. I used to be absolutely 100%, 110% Blavity all the time. And now I'm going through different things. You know, I'm writing a book. I'm going to be a mom. You know, I paint and do all types of stuff. And I still work 10 hours a day and I love my life. I'm so grateful for the work that I do. But it was important to me that I was sharing some of the conversations that I was having with myself and with interesting people in my life along the way.
Totally. I love that. We talk a lot here on Getting Grown about process, right? And I feel like growing up, we saw sort of static moments in the people that we were, you know, motivated by. But we don't really know what connected, like what connected the dots between those static moments. And I also love that you talk about, I think a lot of Black women our age are coming into this space where we recognize that it is okay for our humanity to be more than what we do. And I think for somebody who has had the success that you have had in your throughout your career to sort of own and open up to that kind of vulnerability is super powerful. Can you talk a little bit more about sort of why the journey is the angle here, right? In a culture that sort of fosters this product, right?
The output.
Let's talk about why the journey and why you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I think the reason is, to your point, it's actually it's like a rebellion against this idea that it's all figured out.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the easy answer for people when they're looking at each other online. I mean, we all do it with whoever we view as the next level up, right? Mm-hmm. Like I might look at like Sheryl Sandberg and be like, okay, so she did this and then she did this and then she did this and then she became the COO of this. And then like now she's this, but that's not probably what happened, you know? And I'm sure there's people who look at me and they're like, I want to be the Blavity for Latinx, or I want to be the Morgan of this. And I'm like, don't try to do what I did.
Because we're never going to have the same path.
I mean, everything from my wealth journey, you know, I've shared conversation about how I bought this house and had to struggle through getting a mortgage as a single Black woman, you know, who has finances that don't look like everybody else's finances. I have talked about brought my wealth manager on talking about setting up a trust. Like, I didn't even, you know, I got like a trust fund baby in my belly. Like, what? Like, that's crazy.
We love that. You know? We love that.
And that's like, not something that we usually can say as Black people.
Right. And that's not something that I knew. Like, who am I going to call?
Right.
Who am I going to call?
So that's a perfect. How are you preparing for motherhood?
Oh, man, I got all the things.
Are you a book person? Do you have like your shelf of books?
not for maternity. I had a shelf of books for fertility.
Okay.
I was like really not like concerned, but I feel like I've lived a stressful life. So I was concerned maybe a little about am I going to be good? Yeah. Is this going to be a process or are we good? You know, a lot of people might assume that I just got pregnant by accident, but it was actually planned, you know, very much so. And which really shouldn't be a surprise if you know me, but
are you a planner?
I'm a planner, but I'm an unwed mother. So people can't deal.
Oh, please.
Okay. I'm sure in Nashville, I'm sure that's taken to another level. I can already imagine. I know how Black people are. I know how we are. She done slipped up and now she done sent some niggas about to take all her money.
What's on the birth certificate?
Child.
I'm like, damn, y'all are mad nosy. Anyway, but so I planned more for fertility. So I read a bunch of books about like hormones and, you know, foods that you eat and the oils that you eat and like getting your sleep on schedule, just a bunch of stuff about just being your best, fullest self. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had a therapist for a while just to make sure my mental was good, that like I was just thinking through everything. And then when I got pregnant, I kind of was like, oh shit.
Okay. Wow, all the books. And I, you know, still didn't fully.
So I'm actually not the best pregnant person. Like, I had a sandwich like within the first few weeks and I was like freaked out. I was like, oh no, I definitely like, yeah, I went to France and did a bunch of stuff in Europe you probably shouldn't do. Like, I just, the baby's fine. Don't, he's kicking right now.
The baby's fine. The baby is fine. The baby's going to be fine. Yeah. Let me tell you something. When I suspected I was pregnant, had never been pregnant before, but I just knew, like, I was like, all right, something is hitting different. I told my partner we were going to wait several days before we took a test. I was like, all right, let's just hold on for a little while here, and I'm going to smoke as many blunts as I can in this period of time.
No, that's and, right. It's a long time.
It's like a grace period. I'm just gonna give myself a little grace to ease into this.
I was like, I'm gonna take some willful ignorance, you know, in my own.
Yeah, and I found out pretty early too. So I was like, damn. But same. Yeah, and I think like now I'm a couple months out. So I just went shopping for baby clothes this weekend. Like I just went to Costco and got just one set of diapers just because I'm like, if he comes early, I don't want anyone to be, oh, does she have this? Does she have that? I decided not to do a baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like I'm privileged and blessed enough to be able to afford the big items, and baby showers were kind of designed to like help younger parents get up on their
feet.
That's
what they were supposed to be for.
But we're not like young parents.
Which is why I have an issue with gender reveals as well as baby showers. And then we've got a third baby shower over here and somebody wants to plan one on this side. That's just greedy at a certain point.
Yeah, it's just the gifts. Greedy. People want the gifts, but I'm no, I'm good. So I'm doing a nesting party. Fair.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Tell us about that. What's a nesting party?
Okay. So a nesting party. Actually, I'm doing a nesting week. So I just got like 10 of my closest girlfriends from all over the country and said, this is a week that you can come visit me. I would love for you to come visit me and spend time with me. And also, please help. Because like, you got to wash all the clothes. You got to sterilize all the things. I don't have blackout curtains. Like, I'm not prepared, you know, the car seat's not in the car, all the stuff, postpartum spritzers for your coochie, like whatever, you know, I don't have any of that. So they're going to have a giant whiteboard and I'm going to say like, okay, Victoria, you're on postpartum cart duty. What outfit is he going to come home in? What outfit am I going to wear?
Yeah. Like,
some people enjoy that stuff. Like, I know there's women who love that stuff. I'm not her. So my girls are going to, it's like acts of service, really. It's quality time and acts of service. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about it. And I think it's going to be really memorable. And I'll remember being like, you know, your auntie came and helped me.
Yeah.
You know, meal prepped for me. Or like, your auntie put your crib together, you know, and like just a week of sisterhood.
I love that.
I love that. And that's how you really feed and nourish yourself during this time, because all of these traditions that have been placed in front of us with so many things, not even just with baby showers, are we not now not realizing that some of them may not be serving us in the way that they have in past generations? Mm-hmm. And it's okay for us to shift and change that. And I love what you're doing.
We were just talking in our pre-show about the community that we built around Jade and her daughter and how this sort of, I don't know how to describe us, but we are that sort of insular community that surrounds.
It's a village.
And it is more than just, you know, I think tradition, right? One of the things that I think is so powerful about what our generation is doing is that we are troubling tradition and sort of reframing it, representing it in ways that really serve us and what we want, as opposed to just doing things because, well, you know, you have a baby shower because your mama said you're supposed to have
that's
a baby
what
shower.
Supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah. So, I do feel a little bad for my mom, just a little.
And that's fair. That's valid.
And
that's
his
fair.
Mom. Yeah. You know, but at the end of the day.
Do they want to be a part of the planning or do they just want to observe as the proud parents in the back?
I think, no. Are they? Are we talking about black moms here?
Yeah,
they're hands in.
Yeah, very I mean, much. I feel like I could imagine as a mom that I am mm-hmm. going to want to be there when my son gets married or graduates from high school. I mean, you fantasize about these milestones in mm-hmm. your child's life. And I think as a daughter, I can imagine that my mother has fantasized and mm-hmm. had a vision in her mind of Morgan's wedding, mm-hmm. not married, Morgan's, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. whatever, like the baby shower, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I grieve that for her, but mm-hmm. I also, to the point of the journey, you know, decided that it was the best thing for me because I would wind up with a 300 person baby shower and it, to be sponsored by her, you know, Rachel baby. Like,
yeah,
I can't do anything small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. And you have to honor where you're at. And that's actually it's a beautiful time to start doing that. Right. Because as we become mothers or parents, right. Mm-hmm. Because there's many parents out there. So as we become parents, there's a lot of things that our parents and our elders want mm-hmm. and that they envisioned. And I think it's beautiful when we are able to honor what we really need and tell them like, hey, because even as you're raising those children, you're not necessary. Me and my mother have constant conversations about whooping and mm-hmm. have different views on that because of how I was raised mm-hmm. and how I'm raising my daughter. And so... And it's one of those things where it's like, this is not an option for me. These are the reasons why. And honestly, your opinion on it is not welcome.
I appreciate the input and I will make my own decision, you know?
Yeah.
I think those boundaries are important. Jade, let mm-hmm. me ask you, what's some advice you have for me for postpartum?
Oh, shit. Well, first of all, I think you're setting yourself up lovely now because I have to say, my mom coming when I was in labor and preparing me and my husband with things. Like she went to Costco, like you said, she made food and froze it and labeled it. Mm. She got me bleach and just like things that she knows you're not going to have time to go get toilet paper or this or that. You're going to be hungry here. Here's some tuna. Here's things to throw this together when you get hungry here. And I think that would probably be the most. And also don't try to overprepare. I'm a Virgo. I overprepare a lot of things. Mm. But there's nothing that's going to prepare you for when that little person comes because they're going to have their own personality from the gate. Mm. And they're going to tell you what they need. And that's something that you're going to have to listen to. And you're going to tell yourself what you need. Your spirit is going to tell you what you need. Mm-hmm. So your work may shift. Your views on your work may shift. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know how that stuff is going to hit you until it comes. And I think that I said I was going to write a pregnancy book called Fuck the Glow because everything that everybody has told us, I'm like, I should. And if you all stole it, I know you fucking stole it from me.
There's only one black girl pregnancy book, which is Sis, You're Pregnant. And I'm like, if somebody gives me another one of this book, like, I love it, but I have five.
Wow.
We need another option.
Then let me write it. Fuck the Glow. It's coming soon.
No, seriously.
by Penguin Books. But
Penguin Books.
That's I think that's what I would tell you the most is you can prepare yourself as much as you can to try to make your life as easy and in preventative ways. But when it really comes down to it, be as present as you possibly can. I had to go back to work at 6 weeks. My daughter was 6 weeks old. And it was because I did not have privileges. Mm-hmm. And I was a bartender at the time. Mm. So it was like, okay, I have to do this thing. And I felt like a lot of guilt. I would be riddled with a lot of guilt afterwards. Is this affecting our relationship? Is she closer to her father because I was at work when she was 6 weeks old and so forth? It was so many things. And I think if I could go back and change anything, it would just be to be a little bit more present and to give myself a little bit more grace. Mm-hmm. And that's the most you can do for yourself.
I appreciate you sharing that with me. I'm collecting all the goodness.
We're sending it. We're sending it your way, Morgan.
I want to sort of circle us back to the journey, because I feel like I love that you are sort of demonstrating this transparency and vulnerability, even in this conversation, yes, about what you don't know or what you're thinking about or ruminating on. And, you know, you're a person who's had a lot of success in your life. Mm-hmm. And you've been very driven, and you have, you know, articulated the goals that you've had, and people can literally see how you've made things happen for you. How much of, yes, the journey is about sort of the highs, and how much of the journey is about the lows? The journey, we've seen sort of language around, you know, you'll be talking to people about their own personal journey to fulfillment. Is it, mm-hmm, only, is fulfillment only that professional space, or how much digging into sort of personal matters can we expect on your show?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say it's majority personal and not so much professional. Only professional to the extent that it's getting you to where you want to go. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. or like to your whatever your version of your own utopia is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried to live out loud. You know, mm-hmm, I feel grateful to have generally thick skin in today's internet.
I can imagine. No small feet.
Okay. Thank you. Man, they get me sometimes, but
I could, you're a human being as well, but yeah, I could
sometimes
imagine,
they get thank me, God but for the thick most skin. Part, I'm like, nah, I feel good about these decisions. Like someone could be like, oh, she ain't having a baby shower. I'm like, oh man, like really. So I recognize that I have the skill set to be able to be honest and be vulnerable. And that a lot of times you don't meet people who are successful in the business space. You know, mm-hmm, there's a lot of celebrities, actresses that are generally available. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are musicians that pour their heart and soul publicly. Their relationships are public. Everything is public. But you don't get a lot of like business executives. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would have benefited from having more examples, and I would have been less hard on myself. Mm. I would have probably made some smarter choices, maybe the, mm-hmm, same choices, but executed them differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely about the lows. I don't talk about the highs, actually. Like,
why?
At all.
Why not?
Why don't I talk about the highs? I don't know. It's like maybe a bit of survivor guilt, like a bit, mm-hmm, of like, my highs are not highs because I want to try to show other people that I'm better than, or that Blavity made, mm-hmm, it, you know, it's, mm-hmm, more of when I share our highs, it's usually because I want to show what the group did together, you know? Mm-hmm. So like we just had our 9th birthday, we got a billboard in Times Square, nice, you know, and I shared, nice, that, but it was the team. I was like, yo, like, yeah, we did this, like, yeah, we made, mm-hmm, this, like, this, look how great it is. This is 200 Black people, people of color, women, smart people who care, came together and said, mm-hmm, we're going to do a thing, mm-hmm, you know, and mm-hmm, that deserves to be celebrated. But absolutely, when I win a Morgan DeBon award, I'm like, oh, yeah, like LinkedIn post, but like, we're not going to blow this up.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair. But you're proud of yourself, though.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself, but I don't view like awards and lists as that
accolades,
like affirmation, mm-hmm, of being proud. I'm proud of when I get a text from somebody saying, yo, you gave me a ticket to Afrotech 2-3 years ago. And like, mm-hmm, now I can pay it forward and bought somebody else their ticket this year and sponsored them. Like,
love that.
That's love that. The best.
Right. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
So
I love that.
That's amazing. A lot of times people feel like that, you know, people have their own access issues to certain content, or they feel like, and I get this a lot just in my work, because I think people feel like, because, you know, I went to grad school, mm-hmm, you know, it was like, oh, is this space for me? Because I'm not an academic. Mm-hmm. But I love what you're saying around, like, you know, yes, this is about me and who I am and what I do. You know, this was success for me. Success for you can look entirely different and, yeah, still be as fulfilling and meaningful as success for me. So like, it, to me, it sort of debunks this hierarchy that we place.
That's right.
on.
There's no difference between me and somebody else. There's nothing. Yes, people will try to figure it out in 10 years and will be like, well, she was successful because I'm like, you can make shit up in hindsight, but like there's statistically no reason I should be here.
As you were talking about the internet space, I'm sorry, Brooklyn was Brooklyning and I had to mute myself real quick. it was getting real fetish over here. As in being in this very public space, I can imagine with us not being a monolith and such a wide range of people that you get all kinds of feedback. And you've mentioned having a thick skin, but has that made an impact on how you operate Blavity and or Afrotech with all of these different types of viewpoints out there, from the anti-capitalist to the so forth and so
on? Tell
you
us a funny story. About that. Please. Absolutely, Jade. Like, so Spill came out, right? I saw you guys did an episode on that. And I have the safest possible version of Spill. My board member is on their board. Like, I know these human beings who created it. But I had so much anxiety the first day I went on there. I was like, are they going to be on there talking shit about Blavity in this little app where it's supposed to be about tea? And I'm just like, oh my God, please just be nice. Black people. Nobody can. Like, I went on there. They're not talking about anything.
Yeah.
No, not at all, actually.
You know? But, like, yes, I have anxiety sometimes about, like, it's not personal. It's usually, is everybody okay? Right? And we're not perfect. Like, our editors make mistakes. Our writers make mistakes. Like, we made a mistake the other day. We had an image of somebody on an ad, and we hadn't cleared that image. You know, luckily, I knew the guy and could just be like, yo. Our bad. Can we pay you? You know, but like we make mistakes, and in our community, sometimes when you make mistakes, it can be exacerbated because it's entertaining to watch.
The grace is not always there.
So yes, I do think about it. And then I also try to just fight the fear with like, well, what's in my control? And then also I try to make sure that Blavity does more good than even bad and neutral. So like we have a rule where I say, well, does this do something good or is this going to be neutral? And if it's going to be neutral, I'm cool with it. If it's going to be good, great. If it's going to be negative, if there's a negative impact on the Black community, then let's just not do it.
You
know, and if you operate in neutral or good, then, you know, you're pretty good. You wind up in a pretty solid, safe space. Place with values. So we try to operate within our values as much as possible. And when people don't operate in the values and they make decisions that are short term, like clickbaity type stuff, or like, you know, writing about people's breakups, or just like stuff that's like, I mean, I know we got everybody's writing about it, but like, does this really help?
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
and this, what is this really doing?
And how does this move the conversation forward? Cause I feel like that's the space where we're in now, where we're like, we have these conversations and I'm always thinking like, to what end?
What is the point?
Yeah.
Some stuff you have to cover, like through Greenwood, you know, the gathering spot stuff, like it's our responsibility to cover that stuff. Right. But you don't write 10 articles about it. Right. You don't post about it every day.
Right.
And then when it's resolved, you make sure that you also post that it was resolved.
Yes.
Absolutely. The follow through.
It is a lot more effort to care.
Yes, I can imagine. I can imagine.
And that's a word for
I'm sure
somebody.
It's a lot of effort to not care as well.
No,
with
because that's
having
real.
To block out some of those opinions.
You can't
take everything.
Yeah. Sorry, Jade. I'm just thinking when you said that, it's just like, to me, a lot of people care in theory, but not in practice. Or we care, or we say that we care, but what does that look like? How does that show up in actually how we operate in these spaces? We don't often think about, like, oh, do I care about? Because I work, you know, a lot of times I work with institutional leaders who, you know, are trying to transform their institutions to think about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And everyone was like, sure, we have strong values about diversity. But I'm like, but what does that look like on paper? What does that look like in policy? Have you actually defined that? Are there sort of metrics and practices that we can actually look at to see if you are doing what you say you value? But, you know, you saying like, you know, it takes a lot of time and energy and effort and learning lessons to care, right? Because sometimes absolutely. You don't know what you care about until you get in some shit.
Until something happens and you're like, what do we care about? Exactly. And we have those conversations at work. Like, I've had employees write me emails and be like, why did we sign this client? Yeah. And I have to be like, besides the money, let me think about it. Like, you know, where I'm like, oh, I didn't really think about it that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the also like something that I have the privilege of is having really cool people, really smart people who are like way more interesting than me, did not grow up in Missouri like me, you know? And I've learned a lot along the way, but like that goes back to the journey, right? Like you can't say that you're a stagnant person if you want to push culture forward, because culture is always evolving.
Always moving.
Like we're thinking about sustainability. I'm like, bro, like global warming, like, okay, like black people, what do we need to know? But I have to learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can't put, because you have to know what you're putting out there. It's your platform. So you have to learn yourself some things.
Honor the fact that you're in it too. Right. So like the way you thinking about how to prepare us, but I'm sure that all the things that are going on in the world impact you directly as a person, as a human, as a woman.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, do we have tornadoes in Tennessee? Yes. Do we need like a tornado thing? Like, you know, the flights, like I've been on so many flights that have been so shaky.
Don't say
so turbulent. But then I'm also mad when they cancel the flights.
Listen.
So I'm like, what are we going to do? Are we just going to stop flying?
Singing my life with these words.
We're going to get on boats.
I'm on a plane just about every week. And it's like, girl.
Please land the plane.
Please land the plane.
Global warming. And it's amazing that people don't think that it's actually a thing. Why is it 107 degrees, you know, at 8 p.m. in at Texas 9:30. Right now? I don't know.
And you heard about the flight in Vegas, how they literally were on the tarmac to the point where people were throwing up from heat exhaustion because it was so hot in Vegas, like over 110 degrees.
Oh, Lord.
And they're on the plane.
I did see an article that the cacti in Las Vegas are falling out. I said, Lord, if the cactus aren't going to make it. If the cactus are not going to make it.
Then we are not
going to make it. Are the iguanas in Miami? Weren't there iguanas that got frozen and fell off the trees in Miami?
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, that was in the winter. It's terrible. We're laughing because this is outrageous.
That's all we can do. Crazy. Yes.
I think that this is going to be the biggest thing in the next 10 years, that our lifestyles are going to get so disrupted.
For sure.
I mean, even having floods in New York, like there's going to be like major floods, like all the time.
Floods, fires.
Manhattan is sinking.
That's crazy.
It is sinking. And they're still building new skyscrapers as they are telling us that it's sinking. They're like, but this new building is going up. And
tall.
I'm like, oh, can't fucking wait.
And heavy. All right, let's do it.
No. But I think it's awesome that your employees are able to even come to you when you were mentioning that they're able to come to you and question certain things. Mm-hmm. Why do we have this person here? Why is this person apart? I think that is indicative of a wonderful leader, right? Because they feel comfortable enough to be able to challenge you about certain things. And that shows that you want the best for your platform as well.
They love a challenge of Morgan Devine. I love She's anyone like, who's listening to this. Camera. I love you all. Thank you for your feedback.
But so you know, you heard the undertones because I be having them too. If they listen to this, then they already know. They're like, Jade's a bitch, but I listen to her every week.
Right. That's definitely true. They love listening to my podcast.
So there we go. Real. We're doing something right. Morgan, can you tell us what's next?
Yeah.
For you down the line?
Yeah, I'm working on my first book, so hopefully that comes out next year. I'm excited about that. It's just my philosophy on how to be on your own journey, you know, and also just kind of really step into, like, why not be the person who makes a change? You know, if you're frustrated with something, if you want to see something done, if you want to live life a certain way, if you want to stay at home with your kids and not lift a finger, whatever it is, you know, let's go.
Yeah,
let's do it. Yeah, let's not talk about it 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. I just turned in the manuscript, so I'm waiting on feedback from my editor.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
What else is going on? I mean, we have a lot of stuff going on at Blavity that I'm super pumped about. So there's a lot of good stuff.
Can't share yet.
I can't share that one yet, but it's coming.
Okay.
I'll definitely send it to you guys when it's out. It'll be obvious. It'll be one of the things where it's like,
okay.
Yes. You know, all right, so stay tuned. Yeah.
Stay tuned. Tap in.
Afrotech is right around the corner. I won't be there because I'll be pushing up this baby, but I'm pumped about that. We're getting into music. You know, we have a lot more music artists and really trying to bring music into the Afrotech experience and, you know, the intersection of tech and creators and us being able to push our own ideas and own voices out there is so huge.
Yes.
And that's it. You know, I'm growing my tomatoes in my backyard.
I love that.
More painting.
Oh, now, you know, that's my type of time. I'm a chef. So that's my type of time. Yeah, that's my shit right there. I'm excited to hear about these tomatoes in this book.
Yes.
No, this has been awesome to just get to know you. I've been following
you
and your work and Blavity. And, you know, shout out to Blavity for all the times that they have, you know, celebrated getting grown and all the things that we are trying to do. I think that just speaks to the alignment between our platforms here at Getting Grown. We talk about all of the ghettos of adulting and negotiating the transitions of the worsthood, adulthood. And I love that what you're doing with Journey is also so it's similar in that vein, sort of talking about those highs and lows and lessons along the way. So it's been dope to connect with you, and we're excited about what the future holds for little baby boy, for you, your family, and for all that is to come with Blavity, and, you know, just sort of the next era. We love this. We love to see it.
Thank you.
We do. And this is also going to speak to some people out there who want to have children. And, you know, they feel a lot of those societal pressures or familial pressures as well. So you're inspiring in so many different ways. And I think it's beautiful. So thank you for sharing your authentic self.
Thank you for having me.
And before we go, can you tell the people where to find you on all platforms?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok if you want to see the weird side of me. And then my podcast is The Journey by Morgan DeBon. You know, listen to it. Let me know what you think. Do all the things.
Of course. Yes. Of course.
And all of that will be in the description box. So make sure that you all check that out, because I know y'all don't like to read all the time. Thank you so much. We will see you for the next segment.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Audible proudly celebrates 50 years of hip-hop. 50 years of culture that birthed the most prolific storytellers of our time. Respect the moment, respect the movement, celebrate storytellers. Hear brand new hip-hop memoirs, podcasts, and exclusive musical performances on Audible free all summer long. Like new volumes from Audible's groundbreaking Words and Music series, including Snoop Dogg's From the Streets to the Suites, Yasiin Bey's A Dynamic Career in Communications, DJ Drama's Gangsta Grills featuring the mixtape legend in conversation with hip-hop greats like 2 Chainz, Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, Jeezy, T.I., and Pharrell. Binge-worthy Audible original series like The Greatest Day that takes listeners inside the making of hip-hop's greatest photograph. Double XL Magazine's iconic 1998 cover that saw over 100 of the day's greatest hip-hop artists assemble for one legendary image. Chuck D's Can You Dig It? About how a gang peace treaty in the Bronx set the stage for the rise of hip-hop culture. Or The Motherlode, featuring hip-hop heavies like MC Light and Angie Martinez, retracing the history and future of hip-hop through the lens of its most influential female contributors. Hear unforgettable hip-hop originals like these and more essential stories only on Audible. Listen free. Go to audible.com/forever. That's audible.com/forever.
I deserve.
All right. Back to talk self-care and all of the ways that I'm being intentional about caring for myself.
Yes.
I have a twofold one. I may, I had a really good, I'm doing, I've told you I'm in this space where
I get lots of new revelation and insight and perspective during my workouts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
We have a part of our program is like, you know, every month we get a new program of workouts that we're going to be focusing on throughout the month. And so it's the start of a new month. We got a new program. And I went into class today and, you know, a lot of times when I record myself, it's not just to post on the gram. It's mostly, it's actually not to post on the gram at all. It is so that when I am traveling for work, I can go back. And when I read in my notes that we have to do a walking RDL, I can sort of say, well, what the hell is that? I can look in my phone and I have this little library of me actually doing these exercises in real life. And if I usually record, because a lot of times the coaches will come over and correct us if our form is bad. So I try, I like to keep my phone and I record the workout so that I can have a reference for when I'm away for the gym, but still trying to get my workout in. So I was recording myself doing these leverage squats. There's a new machine in the gym that allows us to do this thing called leverage squat. You sort of stand on the platform and you squat. And the key to doing the leverage squat is like you're going for depth. Your squats need to be, you need to be really squatting through your, building your quads muscles. I'm learning all of this stuff in real time. And so I've done leverage squats before. And when I noticed that the last time they were in the program, I was saying that I could get deeper. Like when I look at the the video footage, I'm like, I know that I can squat deeper than that. So today when I was on the machine, I'm like, you know, I'm going to squat. I'm going to really try to focus on depth and like really getting my form good so that I can go deeper and really push through my sets. So I record myself doing the leverage squats. And after class, I'm looking at the footage. And of course, I'm watching the footage from the leverage squats. And my mind immediately started to go straight. My eyes went straight to what was wrong versus what was right. And so I'm working out in my little workout set and I'm doing squats. And what I saw first was like back rolls. Like, you know how you put the sports bra on and you got a little meat hanging in the back. Yes.
So just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit, because, you know. So I immediately was like, ah, can't post that because these back rolls is late. And I literally put the phone down and just, you know, I'm not going to post that because these back rolls is. And I was thinking about a conversation that I had with Toya earlier today. Yes. And I was talking about the way that I see myself, the way that I've sort of been conditioned to think about my body throughout my childhood and my work to sort of reframe that. And so I said, you know, a lot of times I know the source, or through therapy, I've identified the source of why I, you know, whatever negative habit, thought habit or thought pattern, I know the source of it. And I'm working to try to break that habit. And Toya was saying, it's literally you make a choice to do different. And so I thought about that. And I was like, I'm going to make a different choice. Instead of me not posting this video because I feel like my back doesn't look like the way that I want to look, I'm going to watch the video again and try to find something that is that I'm doing right. I'm going to really look at this and try to see where I'm making progress and not immediately dismiss the video because I got a little meat hanging out the bottom of my sports bra. And when I did that, when I went and looked back, I literally took a leverage squat video from a couple of weeks ago and a leverage squat video from today. And I was like, I'm actually squatting much deeper than I was 3 weeks ago. And so I'm actually lifting at least 20 pounds heavier than I was lifting 2 weeks ago. And so instead of me not celebrating, instead of me focusing on my back rolls or what I think is wrong, I could honestly look and say, is it a back roll or is it the fact that I'm moving a particular way? And whether it's a back roll or not,
I am actually doing these squats. Like, I'm actually very proud of the way that I am doing these squats. And I see a difference in the way that I used to do them versus the way that I do them now. And so I posted the video and was talking about how important it is to allow yourself to acknowledge, like, we go through therapy, we work on what we work on, we get new perspective into why we have these habits. And I can acknowledge that it's a lot of work to show up and push through a workout when your mind is telling you to focus on what's wrong. Sister. But you can choose, you can make a choice to celebrate progress. Like, sure, my back is not smooth and taut like I feel like it ought to be, but the fact that my ass is sweeping the floor in these squats is where, that's where the magic is. And that's what it. I choose to celebrate in this moment. And so for those people who might be like me, who are much more inclined to be critical of ourselves before we look at ourselves through the lens of progress and growth and what we're learning and doing better, we can, we don't have to let that first thought that comes to mind be the thought that rules the day. We can challenge our mind's sort of default setting with facts, with faith, with fresh perspective. And we can sort of reclaim that negative thought and turn it into something positive. And that was something that, you know, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time, but it is developing the practice of living it out every day. And so while I could have chosen not to post that video because my back didn't look the way that I want to, the video was not about my back. The video was about the squat. And I'm actually squatting way better than I used to squat. So progress is progress.
Come on. Yes. And that is Shout out to you. Your deep squats.
That could be my my deep squat. That could be my I know that's right for this week.
I know that's right.
Yes. It's a combo because the perspective is the self-care and the practice is the self-care. But I know that's right to you doing these deep squats. And furthermore, to take it even a step further, I think I've said this before, like, I have thighs, okay?
All right.
Well, thighs. Same. Honey, like thighs.
Thighs.
And I don't go anywhere. Gym. I don't go to the gym, period. But I don't gym, beach, pool. I don't go to any of those places and look at somebody who might have back rolls and be like, look at all those back rolls.
Right.
You know, I don't look at videos on the internet people working out and be like, look at their back rolls. Look at how their whatever's is. I'm not even viewing anyone in that way. You know what I mean?
And I wouldn't view anybody else that way. But it was just.
I know.
Yeah.
And but I think that's a perspective that we can, that helps us with ourselves in the sense where it's like, but honestly, I looked at your video and I was like, back rolls, you know, a la Alyssa Edwards. But also it's like, okay. And if you do have back rolls, I'm the people who are looking at your video to look for back rolls are derelicts generally. True. They're generally people who go, they don't wash on a daily basis. They don't brush the backs of their teeth.
Right. Or their
tongue. You know what I mean?
Correct.
They don't brush. They definitely don't brush their tongue. Never heard of a tongue scraper.
No.
And, you know, those are people that think hand sanitizer is a supplement for soap and water, like things like that. And that puts things into perspective in a different way.
Yes.
But also, like, for, you know, the rest of us, normal, healthy human beings, we're not judging other people at all the way that we're judging ourselves. And I think that that is a great perspective to have when we are placing such harsh judgment. But I love what Toya said about you making a decision.
Make a different choice.
Are you going, you know, you making a choice, making a decision.
Yes. I literally said my mind just automatically goes to the negative. And she was like, even if that's the case, do you just accept that? Or do you choose to sort of challenge what that automatic place is until you develop a new automatic? Like, what if you said, like, so what? Like, yes, When I look at a picture, it's easy because me and my therapist were talking one day, and she was talking about how, like, a lot of times little girls who were often when shame was used to get us to do what other people wanted us to do. When people shamed us into...
When they put shame and criticism together.
Yeah. Like when we were shamed or guilted, when it was, instead of providing a practical, realistic rationale, like, I'm asking you to do this because... When we grew up, some of us who grew up in that I told you so generation, it was like, you didn't do it because I told you. Like, you know, shame is often something that we reach for because we're conditioned to do it as Black people. But, you know, that's another conversation. But the point that she was making, the point that she was making was like, those of us who have been shamed throughout our lives, like our behavior has been driven by shame in many ways, are often hypercritical of ourselves because we self-shame. Absolutely. We self-shame ourselves into change behavior, but change. So she was like, given that, that can sort of speak to why you're so critical. But recognizing that, the work of recognizing that is one thing. We also can do the work of not accepting that because that's the way that impacted me, I can choose for it not to impact me in the same ways. So the work continues. And so you can make a different choice. So what? A lot of times your mind, before you can stop it, will go to a negative place. You then have the power to bring it back. You don't have to stay where your consciousness will sometimes lead you. And so that was like super powerful to me. Because I was just like, yeah, man, automatically when I see a picture and my body is bigger or it looks different, it's like, dang. Automatically, before I can check myself, my mind will just be like, look at how big your thighs are or whatever. And it's like, sure, that's what I'm automatically programmed to do, but I can try to change the program.
Yes, because the program don't have to stay the same.
No.
And a lot of them are what? Defunct. So
period.
Go ahead, sis.
Dated.
Go ahead.
Dated software.
I'm proud of you.
But yes, that's my self-care. I'm out here doing the work. So the work of transforming. And then another thing, what's the young lady that was on our show? Danielle, the trainer that we had on our show.
Yes.
She said something on her social media the other day that really resonated with me. I can't seem to unthink it. She was like, we cannot transform bodies that we constantly shame and pick apart. We cannot transform for the better. Even if you want to change your body, it's okay to want to change it, but it has to be from a place of love. It cannot be from a place of dragging. And that resonated with me because I tend to drag myself.
Because that mentality, sorry not to cut you off, but when people go and lose a whole bunch of weight, and there's a certain, I'm not talking about everybody, I'm talking about a very specific type of person who loses a bunch of weight and then they become an insufferable, highly critical person.
Yes.
That's when you can tell that there was something.
Yes. It
no
becomes
work
insatiable.
Was done internally.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
So it becomes like this insatiable thing that you're just always hypercritical. And you have to start to view your relationship. I'm learning this in real time. I have to reframe. Working out is not just about being a particular size for me because I feel like time has proven that I can work out every day and still, you know, my body will do what it's going to do. So I have to come to a place of accepting my body for where it is right now, loving it in this place and working out from a position of I love my body so much that I want it to be in its optimal condition.
Yes.
So
thank you, body,
work.
For getting me through these hard workouts and through these hard days.
And I'm
so
grateful.
And so
I get in the car and I say, thank you. Thank you that there were no injuries. Thank you that I, you know, sure. But whether the workout was a, quote, good workout or not, I got through it. And I'm grateful for that because there are lots of people who are within my age bracket who cannot do the things that I am attempting to do. And I'm not the best at it, but I'm here and I'm going to continue to show up. So for those of you who are
out there, I'm here.
Yes. It's internal. Your internal work has to complement your work that you're doing on your body. And that is what is going to bring us to the place of healing and wholeness that we all seek. Bongity bong.
I love that. Let me tell you something. You are in a glow era, and I am receiving all of it. I love it. I'm love
grateful.
To see that.
The Lord is kind, and I am grateful that we can see growth and progress in all areas. And I got a long way to go, but I'm out here on the road.
Sister, we all do. But I love to see it, and I see the progress. And I'm not talking about from a physical standpoint.
Likewise,
because I don't give a fuck what you look like, unless you stink. And that is the difference. My self-care this week, we talked about it in the pre-show, so y'all have to get hip to the Patreon. We took Noah, Crystal and I took Noah to the Beyonce concert like we said we would. As of you listening to this, it would have been last week.
What a joy.
And Key and I really got into some of the things that came up just in that, you know, that visit and that trip and that outing. But it felt good to do that. It felt good to spend that time with her. It felt good to share that moment with her. And it felt soothing for me, like it was something that I needed. As much as I was there to make her happy, it fed me as well. And
yes.
That's my self-care this week.
Spending
time with that little person is like, you know, it is actually really soul healing. It is. Aww. Because you get a whole different perspective of life and, you know, just their joy and their innocence. And when you really take a minute to enjoy who they are as little people, you really can enjoy them the same way that you do with your homeboys or your homegirls or your homedays. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. I'm really getting a lot from hanging out with her, and I'm enjoying my time with her.
I loved watching your relationship with Noah bloom, because it doesn't have to be bad. You know, I think there's lots of rhetoric out there around angst and issues and dis-ease that exists between mothers and daughters. And that's real for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be that way. And to see you do the work to try to build a relationship with your daughter based on who she is, not necessarily what you think she should be, but who she is really dope. And I love to watch you parent. You inspire me and many other people. Proud of you.
I will take your extra prayers when I have to attend that K-pop concert that I told you about.
Woo! And I will be praying.
That's going to be a test.
That is the video we need to see. We need to see your reaction to the K-pop concert.
I can't fucking wait. This is going to be, I'm like, how long are y'all going to perform? How many songs do you have? It's going to be so much.
I also have to say that I watched Oprah posted about, because she was at the same Renaissance show that you, Crystal, and Noah were at. And so her and Miss Gayle did their little review on Oprah Daily's the Instagram page. But Oprah had posted on her Instagram talking about how transcendent and spiritual the Renaissance tour was. But to see her in the video with Miss Tina and Miss Gayle talking about how you won't break my... I was like, that's how we gonna be in Vegas. A bunch of aunties in the back, like
a bunch of aunties at Beyonce. You won't break my
talk about it, I'm telling everybody.
I'm gonna be in a corner doing fair work.
Oh, I can't wait to put on my fanny pack in my ergonomic flats, honey, and
because
be down
you
to the
know
stadium.
I'm wearing a fanny pack and comfortable shoes. Please.
First of all,
the girls were out there. And let me tell you, this is not shame.
No
shame. The girls
shame.
Were out there.
In their pumps.
And coochie
and boots.
Cutters.
I
and
can't
pumps.
Handle. I celebrated.
Shout out to y'all's hot
shout
ass
out
feet
because
my feet could never. Shout out to those heels because my feet could never. Shout out to y'all's thighs because it wasn't just the little girls. It was the big girls too. And I know y'all either had on some amazing bomb betwixt those thighs, or I don't know, you're just a soldier. Shout out to y'all's thighs, shout out to y'all's feet,
my Lord.
Shout out to everybody who had on foil and metal and things that attract heat
and conduct heat. So
nigga, cowboy hats. I was like,
I will say
a
this.
Hat on my head. Get the fuck.
This is how old I am. I saw that Tory Burch has released an ergonomic version of her iconic, those Tory Burch slides.
Yeah.
Child, it comes with arch support for those of us who have flat feet.
Oh.
Bitch, I bought me a silver pair. Talk about, these are my Renaissance sandals. You won't break my feet neither, Beyonce, because I don't have it. You won't break my feet.
Absolutely. Like, and we will be dancing and we will be having a good time, and I will be doing it in a comfortable
There's so much
attire.
Walking that's involved in attending a Beyonce concert. When I see the girls out here in knee boots and pumps, and I'm just
and
like
intergalactic space boots,
shout
and
out to
things
each and every
that
one
stick
of
close
you.
To the skin. I was
shout
like,
out.
I applaud.
I will be having on breathable fabrics and comfortable shoes, because I'm just in an era of comfort and ease in my life.
Why have I literally been saying, I bought a mesh caftan that I was like, I'm gonna wear this in a sports bra because
we will be at the Beyonce concert in athleisure and comfortable
Absolutely.
Shoes.
And it's fucking Vegas. I'm not getting ready to pass out like the cacti.
I cannot.
Please.
The cactus are giving up in this heat. So what are y'all out here with these fits?
Telling you, the animals are jumping, they're passing, they're doing all kinds of, because it's hot in the water, it's hot on the land. Nigga, get a clue. Global warming is here.
The people,
climate change is real.
The fish are taking the water back. They want us out. They
yeah,
want
and
us
you
out.
And you know, we should respect that, actually.
We should. Shout out to Brittany Packnett. She said on her Instagram, she said the orcas are organizing in that thing. Sent me down. I said they are convening.
They are
meeting.
They are actually. They're taking back the night.
They are sick of us.
The fish are taking back.
You saw those sea lions attack those people to the beach? Like, get out,
sister.
Get
came
away.
Out of the water.
They was like, I want you gone.
They was like Martin on that episode of CD Player.
You know how they be clapping them. They're like, get your things and go. Go, go. Get off the beach, girl. We're sick of it. And y'all was not moving fast enough because the sea lions came and got you.
Did you see the lady who went swimming in a part of the ocean that she wasn't supposed to go swimming in? And the mother, and the seal mother went attacking her ass multiple times because and they had signage that said,
you're
there
not supposed
are
to be over there.
Seals here that have just given birth. This is not where you're
supposed
to be. This bitch not only went down there and swam, but had her husband filming it. So her husband got her what? Getting her ass beat by
Period.
The seal.
Did you see the lady who was on like a boogie board? She was surfing and she was in the water. I don't know if this water was like undesignated, but there was a dolphin swimming around and she was like, I don't know if she was antagonizing the dolphin or thought that she was playing with the dolphin. When I tell you that bitch. Dolphin jumped out of the water and knocked her right off that boogie board, like, boop, I done told you. Get your tail away from me. And I said,
did it bite
see,
her?
I don't think it bit her. It just literally took his tail and bumped her right off the boogie board. I said, they are sick of us. They don't want us around.
Sister, and I swam with dolphins. And let me tell you, them niggas are strong.
I mean, just casually knocked her right off that boogie board. Like, I done told you I'm not playing.
And she ended up under that water with all those bubbles confused for a couple of seconds. I guarantee
like, girl,
you she did.
I mean, get your things and go. You are not welcome.
Bitch. Like, this is not your home. And y'all don't know how to. You can't even do that with animals. So, you know what? As they take back the night, I applaud it all. I really do.
I think
you know
that.
Who else?
What?
You know another animal that took
what?
Back the night? Cardi B.
Because through that microphone. Cardi said,
play
in somebody else's face, not mine, okay?
In big fucking mood. don't. And I understand that there was a time when Cardi welcomed fans doing things and throwing water on her, and she would say it, but she said it, she communicated it, it was consensual in that moment. Bitch, nobody told you to splash your nasty ass backwash on me. What the fuck is wrong with you? You deserve, you, if the thing concussed you, then you deserve it.
Well, what?
And people are out here, they're like, Cardi needs to control herself. No,
no,
don't you need fucking to throw yourself. Shit on people, and you don't have to face the consequences of their wrath.
What do you think? What in your mind would say, I'm going to throw this drink, this liquid, whatever? Like, someone said somebody threw their drink on Cardi B. Like, what kind of excitement would warrant you throwing your drink at Cardi B? I don't understand.
And the girl apologized after she did it, but she did it bold as hell. And then was like, it was one of those understand. Like when you accidentally say something stupid to your mom and then you're like, I'm sorry. It was very bad.
What did you think was going to happen?
She bit that fucking lip. The next best thing, Cardi's better than me because I would have bit that lip and chunked that shit. And she's better than me because I would have hopped off that stage and held the microphone and beat her with it. Like, so you better be happy it was Cardi.
Like Monica jumped off the stage. It was some young man punched a woman in the face at her concert. And Monica hopped off that stage like she was getting ready to go. She was like, don't do that. And the next thing you knew, she was on the floor. I said, listen, the people are sick of it.
Why would you do that? Don't do it in general, but why don't would you do that in general?
And I'm just like,
So what I heard allegedly with that particular story, that the man was cheating on the lady, and she caught him at the concert. But you know, the internet, so I don't be knowing what's real. Yeah, which is not at all just what. And you're in the wrong, absolutely not. But you don't put your hands on people. It's stop putting bad. Your hands on people. Leave it alone.
It's all bad.
Like, quit. So. But that went off the rails really
sure
fast.
Sure did. So sorry.
Self-care.
Let's go on. Let's go on to the petty peeves.
To the petty peeves.
Yes, indeed. We get derailed. You know, it happens.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
Oh, it's time for the petty peeves. And mine is not so much a petty peeve this week as it is an update to a petty peeve from weeks back.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to be a little messy. It's the best. Outside of the trash, this is the best segment to do so. So, remember I told you one of my petty peeves like a few episodes ago was about that black man who was trying to bark up for that white woman to me, like when that white woman was all in my face. And yes. I was like, girl, go find some business about yourself. Well, So the area that I saw them last time is an area that I go to for a very specific reason after my nail appointments. Mm-hmm. So I went over today and I'm walking down the street and I'm like, oh, it's them again. And they're in that corner. Now, this is the third time. Okay, because I saw them one more time since that other petty peeve. This is the third time I've seen them. They hang out in this little abandoned GNC doorway. And they just be canoodling. So I passed today and I heard enough things that hit me. I think these niggas are cheating together. And this is their time. Like, this little middle of the day venture is like
at the GNC.
Yes, in the closed, abandoned GNC doorway. And the man is a black man who wears this shirt because he had this on two times ago that says Old Harlem, New Harlem, and it has the new scratched out. So he's like, I'm Old Harlem. And I mean, when you talk to him, he is. But then the lady has an asymmetrical, not even a bob.
Oh, like she got like one
a,
of them.
Like the shortish kind of asymmetrical situation. Yeah. So it's not quite a bob, but it's not quite like a pixie. And it's like that weird blonde. Yes.
So she's out there looking like one of the former Maury Povich contestants of old.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Noah plays. So do you know they have a Karen game on Roblox? The kids love Roblox. They have a Karen game, and it's a white. And Roblox is the ugliest interface known to man. They look like Legos walking, but they have a Karen game, and it's a white woman with an asymmetrical bob, blonde bob. And this lady looks like the Roblox Karen. But I figured it out today. I was like, somebody is creeping. I don't know which one of them it is, but somebody is creeping. Mm. And that's where they hang out. They hang out in that fucking storefront. And I almost tweeted it. I was like, for 2 seconds, which, oh, you want to talk about a real petty peeve? What the fuck is that X?
Oh, that was mine.
What is
which
that?
Which is a segue into my petty peeve. Because please, I feel like,
take it guys, away.
What is actually happening here? Okay. And at what point do we collectively decide as a family that we take our business elsewhere?
Yeah.
Because I feel like something about it is unsettling to me, and I'm questioning what it represents. Because I feel like it was very abrupt, and there was no sort of warning that this would happen. No. I opened my phone and I'm like, what the hell is this app? Mm-hmm. I've never seen this before. I didn't download anything like this. And so I'm wondering if somewhere in the terms and conditions, this means something else. It makes me very hesitant of what
is
happening.
Was it you who told me that he put that new X over the old Twitter sign? And that the people are complaining?
I have not seen that. No, it wasn't me that said that.
Oh, somebody. Okay,
I
so somebody told me. Oh, Fran told me. He put the fucking, he put that new X, like, I guess it's a big flashy sign over the old Twitter sign. And all of the neighboring people are like complaining because the signage is so obnoxious.
And it's, I mean, what? To me, it is so confusing that it is.
Sister.
It is concerning.
It came out of nowhere. There's no announcement about it. I don't like the way that it feels. And even when we had talks of Twitter shutting down and like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. He's going to run it into the ground. People are like, well, I'll just ride it until it runs into the ground and then whatever, I'll be fine. This has been the first time where I'm like, I might actively just go ahead and like, deactivate this thing and like completely discontinue because I don't like whatever this is and how it feels.
I hope that we as a community of consumers recognize how much power we have. And so that I feel like this might be an opportunity for us to organize like the orcas and make a decision about what we going to do next. Cause I'm like,
whatever the fuck.
I'm like, what is happening here? Something about this is very concerning, and we have to be really conscious of, cause people are sneaky, right? And so,
yeah,
I just would hate, you know. I would just hate for this to represent something in some other realm, and now people think that I'm on board with whatever's going on over. I don't know. Maybe I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but some about this don't sit well with my Shondo. I don't like that.
Listen, as long as it's conspiracy theories that make sense, you know what I mean? Like XD and I said with Carly Russell, if you see a baby running down a highway, it's probably not a baby. That's probably a demon. Mm. You know, there are conspiracies that that make a lot of sense. And then some of them don't. I think if they have a level to them that do, then it is what it is. And this don't feel right collectively. The fact that you and I are both on the same page.
I was instantly like, well, what is this that is happening?
I don't like it. I don't like how it feels.
I don't feel comfortable. I'm very, very concerned about it. I will be keeping my ear to the ground about this. And so I don't know. Yeah, we just gonna have to
Let's Google it real fast.
Wait and see. I also wanted to say I shared a little bit of this on my story, but I felt like I was encouraged. It was so many of you that responded to the story that I felt like I needed to talk about it here as well. You know, there are those of us who grew up with mothers who would see other people's children misbehaving and they would threaten us. Like, don't you ever do anything like that. Or if you do something like that, I will blah, blah, blah. I would have you all to know that after Carly Russell, it was come forward that this was all a hoax. The first call that Rhonda made was to me.
Of course it was.
Reminding me that if I'd ever were to pull a stunt like that, she would clean my clock.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I mean, and just proceeded to go off on me as if I had done what Carly had done. And I was just like, girl, I am innocent. I have not given you any indication that this is something that I would do
not even
or
a little bit.
Has ever done, I have ever done in my life. For you to spend 15 minutes on here talking about all of the ways that you would crown me and baptize, I would baptize, like with clenched teeth, talk about I will clean your clock if you ever embarrass me. Like, and I'm just like, first of all, take some of that angst out the out your chest, because you're upset at me and I ain't done nothing. I'm innocent.
Oh my God.
Innocent.
Ooh. Ooh. So, she had a fabulous mugshot though.
I mean, did she not pose as if she were down to the fabulous Olin Mills? Mugshot. I mean, she was down very at cute. Olin Mills. Like,
it was down at the Sears.
Like, I mean, with the mugshot. Whole, like,
wonderful.
What is, I mean, there's something happening here that
I need to update myself as to what's going on. I don't know if the girl had a mental health issue.
If she's not disclosed it, I'm going to just say that she's had to have had one. Whether or not she talks about it, I think it's pretty safe to say that something is awry.
Something is amiss. Mm-mm. I have to say that. Yeah, something went a little glitchy. And I hope that she gets the help that she needs.
Same. Bigly. Very much
so. But
them
jokes were funny as fuck. And
I
will admonish you all.
Laughter will continue to be the way that we process trauma. That's who we are.
There's nothing that you fucking stink PC ass people on the internet could say that's going to make me stop laughing at shit.
Absolutely. Like,
that's just what it, and if a baby is walking on the highway, it's not a fucking baby.
This is how we heal. And I feel like in these instances, we need to have an emergency contact. Not someone that can be called in the event that we are the victim of some sort of emergency. But when we are witnessing an emergency, we ought to have somebody that we can contact and process our next steps with. Yes. So if I'm driving down the street and I see a baby walking alongside of the road, before I call the police, I might call Jade and say, hey girl, this is what I'm seeing.
And to which Jade, I would say, have Jade you ever say, seen The Orphan?
Mind your business. Jade would say, girl, your job is to get home.
Yeah. My exact words would be, that ain't no damn baby. Keep driving.
I would be like, listen, call the police if you are concerned, but you are to never get out of your vehicle.
I would ask you if it
you
had
teeth. You shouldn't even stop. Like, continue to drive. Continue.
But there is nothing in my spirit that would tell you to pull over and get nothing. Out at nothing. All. Like,
literally nothing. Okay? I'm going to say, I love you, sis, but you must be sleepy, so you've got to go home.
We
and
also
get your
need
rest.
Processing partners when we have asinine ideas like this.
Process group texts. Get you a group text. How many times?
Hey, girl, I'm contemplating robbing this register and faking my something. Disappearance. What you guys think?
You and Crystal and Fran, y'all know, I will say, like, hey, I can't say this on the internet, but this is what I'm thinking. Can I just say this here? I cannot say this on the internet. I will not say this on the internet, but XYZ. You need those spaces in your life.
And I pray she gets one.
We are not, listen, everything ain't for everybody. And did you see that her boyfriend is doing club appearances? Let's close the show
see,
out. Let's do
this
that.
Is, yeah, you know what? That's a petty peeving. So, God bless. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Getting Grown. I don't know which kind of ways this went, but I love it. This is why you all tune in each and every week.
Welcome
we're
to
so,
our
so
chaos.
Grateful for you all.
Yes.
Thank you so much to Morgan for coming through and talking
y'all
to
check
us
out
about
the journey. Absolutely.
Make sure you check out The Journey and stay tuned for when her book comes out and all of those good things. And sis, tell them what to do.
Continue to do your very, very best to mind your business. Be attentive to what concerns you. And that's
not that damn non-baby.
Period. And not that, not to say that other things outside of your business cannot concern you, but be mindful of what is your business, your priority, your what warrants your attention, your response. You have agency, you have choice. Make choices about how you want to spend your time and what consequences might come from your actions. Very important. And that's how you keep yourself, your mind moisturized. Nobody wants dry, ashy thoughts. You don't want that. I don't want that for you. You also want to moisturize your other internal organs and make sure they are working at optimal capacity as well. You do that by drinking just as much water as your body can withstand at any given time. Okay? That's how you keep your insides fresh and clean.
Yes.
Cleanliness. Finally, you want to moisturize your largest external organ, which is your skin. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, tell them why, sis.
Your black will crack if it's dry or if it sees a vampire baby on the side of the road.
Hologram children on the side of the road. We love
Tupac
you guys.
Babies. Bye.
We love you guys so much. Thank you guys for listening and watching if you're on Patreon. See you later.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.